So we're reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, 9th canto, chapter 3, text 10. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Namo. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Sukanya Chavanam Prapya. Patim Paramakopanam. Prinayam asachittagya apramatanu vrittibi. Someone could chant. Modigies. Word for word, Sukanya, the girl named Sukanya, the daughter of King Shariati. Chavanam, the great sage Chandava Muni. Prapya, after obtaining. Patim, as her husband. Paramakopanam, who was always very angry. Prinayam asa, she satisfied him. Chityagya, understanding the mind of her husband. Aparamata anuvrittibi, by executing services without being bewildered. Translation. Chandava Muni was very irritable, but since Sukanya had gotten him as her husband, she dealt with him carefully according to his mood. Knowing his mind, she performs service to him without being bewildered. Purport. This is an indication of the relationship between husband and wife. A great personality like Chandava Muni has the temperament of always wanting to be in a superior position. Such a person cannot submit to anyone. Therefore, Chandava Muni had an irritable temperament. His wife, Sukanya, could understand his attitude, and under the circumstances, she treated him accordingly. If any wife wants to be happy with her husband, she must try to understand her husband's temperament and please him. This is victory for a woman. Even in the dealings of Lord Krishna with his different queens, it has been seen that although the queens were the daughters of great kings, they placed themselves before Lord Krishna as his maidservants. However great a woman may be, she must place herself before her husband in this way. That is to say, she must be ready to carry out the husband's orders and please him in all circumstances. Then her life will be successful. When the wife becomes as irritable as the husband, their life at home is sure to be disturbed or ultimately completely broken. In the modern day, the wife is never submissive, and therefore home life is broken even by slight incidents. Either the wife or the husband may take advantage of the divorce laws. According to the Vedic law, however, there is no such thing as divorce laws, and a woman must be trained to be submissive to the will of her husband. Westerners contend that this is a slave mentality for the wife, but factually it is not. It is a tactic by which a woman can conquer the heart of her husband, however irritable or cruel he may be. But in this case, we clearly see that although Chandava Muni was not young, but indeed old enough to be Sukanya's grandfather, he was also very irritable. Sukanya, the beautiful young daughter of a king, submitted herself to her old husband and tried to please him in all respects. Thus, she was a faithful and chaste wife. Namo Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Bastaya Bhutale Shrimati Bhakti Vedanta Swami Iti Namine. Namaste Saraswati Devi Gauravani Pacharni Nirvasesa Sunyavadi Bhaskachate Shatarne. As it's mentioned here in the purport, that the wife should serve her husband faithfully. This is mentioned in the third canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, that the wife should understand that the husband always wants to be in a superior position as constituted by his bodily frame. And so she understands that and serves him faithfully, even though sometimes he may be wrong, and she should tolerate it, and thus there will be no misunderstanding between the husband and the wife. So this is in Vedic culture. This was a system that the women were trained to be chaste and faithful to the husband, and they were trained to be chaste and faithful to the husband. Prabhupada mentions this in Chicago, and it was at the 10th of June 1975. He said in our Gurukula, the women should learn two things, to be chaste and faithful to the husband and to cook nicely. In this way, Prabhupada said, I personally guarantee that they will get a good husband. So this is wanted in society. The boys, they're not so much inclined to marry. They're not so much inclined to marry an unchaste wife. They're not so much inclined to marry. I can't. So boys are not so inclined to accept an unchaste wife. Therefore, they're not inclined to marry like that. But even if the woman is chaste, even though she may not be very beautiful, she is liked by the husband. So this is the important qualification of a wife is chastity, as it is said that there's different living entities have different qualities of beauty. And for the cuckoo bird, even though it's blackish, it's considered to be very beautiful because of its voice. And a man, although he may be very ugly, if he's very learned, that is his beauty. And a woman is beauty because of her chastity. So this is very important, chastity in Vedic culture. So people think that this chastity or this is just like Prabhupada mentioned the purport, they take this as slavery like that. But actually, in Krishna consciousness and Veda culture, we don't treat women as slaves. They're offered great respect. The sons offer their mother the greatest respect, and the husbands protect their wives. Even Lord Ramachandra, his wife was kidnapped, and he destroyed the whole dynasty of Ravana just because of he kidnapped his wife. So he could have just forgot about it and just get another wife. But no, he protected his wife. So in this way, the wife has to be protected in all circumstances, and she has her duties. To take care of the family, the household affairs, and take care of the children. Not that she has to go out and earn her livelihood. Prabhupada also mentions this, that how if a woman in the presence of her father, elder brother, or husband has to earn a livelihood, this is a great insult to women. So, and also it's... in New Vrindavan, when Prabhupada was in last time in New Vrindavan, they were outside, and Prabhupada asked, Prabhupada asked if the devotees didn't have sufficient clothing, and Kaladri was a temple president at the time. He said, "Oh, we're fine, Prabhupada." And Prabhupada said, "No, you should ask the women if they have what they need." He said, every month you should ask them what they need, because they will not say. You should ask them. So in this way, the women should be taken care of, and then things will go on very nicely. And then they're given protection, not freedom, but protection. Women have three stages of life. They are protected in their childhood by their father, in their youth by their husband, and in their old age by their son. So we see this meant in so many places, like Kunti Devi. Kunti Devi was a great devotee of the Lord, but still she stayed under the protection of her sons like that. So this is the dharma of a woman, to stay under the protection of her grown-up sons, or a husband, or a father like that. So So this is, they're not considered slaves. Even there's one American lady, she was secretary of Dr. Misra, and she says, in India, the women are like slaves. We don't like that. And Prabhupada's reply at that time was, it's better to remain a slave of one than to remain a slave of many, like that. So in other words, women are protected, then they want to be independent, and then they just go beg from the government, beg from door to door, give me shelter, give me a child like this. So this is condemned. We have to set a good example, and like that. So this is important. Women, by protecting the women, there'll be good population, and then people will know what they have to do in life. A Brahmana acts like a Brahmana, a Kshatriya acts like a Kshatriya, a Vaishya acts like a Vaishya, and a Sudra will act like a Sudra. But if the society is chaotic, then there can be no peace in society, and then they can't make progress. And Prabhupada mentions in this connection that only a devotee could become peaceful, or you could only become a devotee if you're peaceful. So this is very important to become, follow this Vedic process. So, just by becoming chaste and faithful to the husband, even if the wife is not so advanced in spiritual life, if she's sincere and faithful, then she gets half the activities of her husband. So Prabhupada mentions this in the sixth canto of Srimad Bhagavatam. So in Kali Yuga, marriage is simply, as mentioned in the 12th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, that marriage is simply based on sex life. If there is a disturbance in sex life or sex power, then there's divorce in the marriage like that. So this is superficial understanding of what marriage is about. Formerly, it was the parents, they used to arrange for their sons and daughters to get married, especially for the daughters. And they would consult astrologically if it was a good match and like that. And if they were compatible, it's not simply liking, you know, because if something's based simply on liking, then the next moment you'll dislike it. So it has to have some substantial compatibility like that. So in astrology, Prabhupada mentions there's different personalities. Somebody's of a demoniac quality and somebody's of a godly quality. So if you marry a boy and a girl that have, if one has a demoniac quality and one has a godly quality, then there'll be difficulties. So in this way, these things have to be understood. As Prabhupada mentions in the 10th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, that the parents should be understand the horoscopes of their children like that. So in this way, they should act accordingly. So Kali Yuga, it's generally this divorce is going on. This is the first fault, Prabhupada says, in society. And he also mentions that in connection with Lord Shiva and Sati, like she was, she wanted to go to her father's house, and Lord Shiva told her not to do so, that would be not good for her. But she left anyway. So in that connection, Srila Prabhupada mentions that generally divorce takes place because of the weakness of a woman like that. She's weak-hearted like that, so it generally takes place because of the woman. So they have to be tolerant, and they have to become Krishna conscious. So the whole purpose of marriage is to have a son, because a son saves the father from the hellish condition if he happens to fall in the hellish condition. So one becomes gets married, he has children, and then he has to train his children to become devotees of Krishna. Because if he doesn't, then how could they actually save him if he gets in a difficult situation? So in this way, he should train his children in Krishna consciousness. Then if somehow or another he falls down, then the son could save his father from death, from the hell, from hell. And it's stated that that in the ninth canto of Srimad Bhagavatam that it's the son who saves the father, not the mother. So if the mother is connected to the father, then she also gets delivered. But if she's separated from the father, if they have divorce, then she doesn't get delivered. It's only the father who gets delivered. So this is a situation. Although Prabhupada did say, in connection with his disciples, this was on July the 5th, 1975, that he said all the mothers and fathers of my disciples will become liberated. He said somehow or another they produced a Vaishnava son. So they get the good results of his activities, and it's quite natural that the son thinks of his parents. Even one may be in the renounced order of life. Family affections are so strong that once one sometimes thinks of his family. So in this way, they are benefited like that. The parents are benefited from that situation. So the purpose is to marriage is to have a son. Srila Prabhupada wrote this to Dhanavir in 1972. He said the only purpose of marriage is to have the facility for sex life, to have a child. Otherwise, what's the use of taking so much botheration? So we have to understand what the purpose of marriage is, and utilize it for Krishna consciousness like that. Otherwise, better just to stay brahmachari like that, because this is more advantageous to spiritual life. But one shouldn't be artificial, and if one wants to get married, if one has this desire, then one should be a devotee, be grihastha, the different ashrams, brahmachari, grihastha, vanaprastha, and sannyas. So from brahmachari, one could go into the accept the grihastha ashram, but one could also accept the sannyasa ashram from the brahmacharya, just like Srila Prabhupada mentions about his spiritual master, Srila Bhakti Sananta Saraswati Thakur. He accepted sannyasa ashram directly from the brahmacharya ashram. But in any condition of life one is in, whether one's a householder or brahmacharya, the main thing is one is a devotee of Krishna. It's better to be a devotee of Krishna. Even Lord Chaitanya showed by his own example that he took instructions from Ramananda Roy, who was a householder and was considered in the Sudra class. So. And he made Haridas Thakur, who was born in Mahamudan family, the Acharya, the holy name. So this is the main thing to become a devotee. It doesn't matter what ashram you're in, what situation of life is one's in. People who think that a devotee is born in a certain family or he belongs to a particular class, this person is considered to be a resident of hell. So some people criticize like that. They say, he's a Brahmana. He could preach Krishna conscious. He's born in a Brahmana family. This devotee wasn't born in a Brahmana family. Therefore, he's not qualified to preach Krishna consciousness. But we should understand such a person is envious of the devotees of the Lord, and they cannot make any spiritual advancement. So, So as Bob mentions, this divorce, it's very, even in this own, in this chapter later on, it's mentioned about divorce. He said, if a woman divorces her husband, then she becomes responsible for the degradation of her father's family and her husband's family. He mentions that this, even in the higher caste today, the brahmanas, the kshatriyas and vaishyas don't engage in such activities as this divorce. It's only done among the sudra class. So we also understand that there are four kinds of enemies. There's the father who is in debt. So if a father dies, he's in debt, then the son has to pay that debt. At least in India, it's like that. When your father passes away, then you inherit his property. So it's not that you just inherit the property, but you also inherit his debt. So in this way, if your father dies with debts, then you have to pay that. So he's considered one of the types of enemies. And another kind of enemy is a son who is a rascal. So he's simply a disturbance in society, and of course there's no question of him delivering his parents because he's simply a rascal. So he's considered an enemy. And a wife is considered an enemy if she is beautiful, because one will always be in anxiety who is after her like that. And another type of enemy is a mother who marries for the second time. So these are the four types of enemy. And also, this is mentioned, women marrying more than once or having more than one husband is also mentioned by Prabhupada. In 1976, in a Bhagavatam lecture, twice he mentions this in September and October. I believe it was in Vrindavan. He mentions about Kunti, Devi, and Draupadi. So Draupadi had five husbands, one child from each husband. And Kunti Devi had, she had different sons from different demigods. She had Arjun from Indra, and Bhima from Vayu, and Yudhisthira from Dharmaraj. Like that. So, but this situation, of course, we understand that also Kunti was a great soul. We can't imitate great souls. Just like the sun is very powerful. It could just, you know, it could purify even a filthy place like that. So they were very powerful personalities. But also Prabhupada quoted this verse in this mention in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, Adi Leela 17, I think it's 164, that there's five acts forbidden in the age of Kali. The offering a cow or a horse in sacrifice, the offering of flesh to the forefathers, taking sannyas, and a brother begetting children and his brother's wife. So these are the five types of things that are forbidden in the age of Kali, which Prabhupada mentions a connection with Draupadi and Kunti accepting more than one husband. So sometimes these arguments go on between the husband and wife, but these should be not taken very seriously. The example is given of if you have two goats and they're fighting with each other, and you just say "hut," and they just go away from each other like that. Or if you hear some rumbling of clouds in the morning time, then you don't take it seriously. You know there won't be any rain. And if there is some sages in the forest performing the Shraddha ceremony, you should understand they're simply going to have a few like flowers and leaves, not a very elaborate ceremony like many people during the marriage ceremony and the Shraddha ceremony, especially those two ceremonies. They expend very lavishly for those two ceremonies. But in this forest, the sages simply have a few leaves and a few flowers like that. And also the husband and wife, if there's some disagreement between the two, then they should, then it shouldn't be taken very seriously like that. So these are the principles mentioned in Vedic literature, and we should follow them. Sometimes, you know, and according to our circumstances, sometimes we come to Krishna conscious and we went through so many crazy things and like that. But we have to take Prabhupada's instructions, and specifically we have to train the next generation properly like that. The children should go to devotee schools and get proper training. In this way, they could become Krishna conscious and create the next generation, which will be devotees like that. And so this in Varnashrama, Prabhupada mentioned, this is in February of 1977, that he said what we are doing now is on a small scale. But if we want to make the whole world Krishna conscious, then we have to take up this Varnashrama like that. He said it should be done immediately and is possible, and people will become happy. So, and when he first brought this up in March of 1974, he mentioned that by this Varnashrama, we will make counter propaganda against Maya. But Maya is also very strong. She'll make propaganda against you. And if you're not strong, you'll succumb. So in Daivyeshu Gunamaimi Mama Maya Duratyaya Mameva Ye Pabanyante Maya Me Tam Tarantite. This divine energy mind, consisting of the three modes of material nature, is very difficult to overcome, but those who have surrendered unto me can easily cross beyond it. So we have to become very strong, and then we could cross over this Maya. And so we have to become strong by taking guidance, taking instructions from the spiritual master. And this way we may remain strong in Krishna consciousness. So Prabhupada brought up this point, and approximately 3 months later here in Los Angeles, on a morning walk, one devotee named Madhukanta, he asked this about mentioned to this him to Prabhupada again about this, you know, making counter propaganda against Maya, and Prabhupada said yes. And he mentioned about, you know, we should become Krishna conscious, and not that we become disciples of Kali. Like he's mentioned, Bhaktivinoda Thakur says there's somebody who's wearing tilak and he has neck beads, but he is simply a disciple of Kali. He is doing a bhajam with illicit sex, and behind him are three dozen women like that. So after saying this, it was Balavaska. He said, "Oh, Prabhupada, does this mean we should follow the principles?" And Prabhupada said, "I've been saying this for 12,000 years. I'm always saying this, and still you are questioning. So it's just simply a matter of following the process, and then these things will gradually fall into place. We just have to fight." As Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita to Arjuna, "Do thou fight for the sake of fighting without considering happiness, distress, loss or gain, victory and defeat. In this way you will not incur sin." So these things may seem very, very difficult. To follow the instructions of Srila Prabhupada may seem very difficult, especially many of the preaching programs that he wanted us to perform, distribute books, start Varnashram colleges, all these things. It seems like it's impossible, but we just have to try our best. You know, as Krishna says, "Do thou fight for the sake of fighting." You know, he didn't say to Arjuna, "Just sit back on the chariot and smoke marijuana and I'll just do all the fighting." No, he said, you should fight. So that's our duty. We should fight. And then Krishna will take care of everything. So we can stop there. Are there any questions on these points? Okay. Yes, Sachin Noy.
Hare Krishna. Thank you, Ravindranath Prabhu. Thank you. Very good. lot of stain is there. Sometimes it's kind of a little bit difficult to understand. It might be difficult, given the case that we're in Kali Yuga. Everybody is a Sudra. Varnas Randharm has not been established. And we're just hanging on the mercy of Srila Prabhupada.
Uh-huh.
So, for example, I know many devotees, a few devotees who have a lot of daughters. They don't have a son, supposedly to be saved by the son. And we know sometimes devotees who have many sons, but the sons are not practicing. They're living outside. Unfortunately, some of them became like karmis. Mm-hmm. But they themselves, the parents, they're following properly. I've seen some of them. And another observation is that I've seen sometimes, and I know, sometimes, you know, married two times, three times, and some cases even four times, which husband is going to save that woman. And so given the case of that, is it correct? So it's a question, and maybe you reconfirm this, that because the fact of Kali Yuga, the fact that no one is Brahminical, and Prabhupada came and gave us all this knowledge, we're supposed to follow, obviously. Wouldn't it be proper to say that chanting the holy name of the Lord and hanging to the and being attached to the orders of the spiritual master, following properly, these other things might be solved, like not having a son, like having only daughters, no son to be saved? It could be accurate to say that if you become just seriously enough, from now on, let's say from now, beginning now, in spite of whatever things happened before, there's a hope for us to be saved?
Well, the thing is with Varnashrama, to establish Varnashrama, or to do anything actually, Prabhupada says, example is better than precept. Or one time he said, without example, your precept has no value. So if we're always saying all these things, there's no, you can't do this in society, you have to follow these principles, you can't get divorced and all that. We say all that, and if we don't do it ourselves, and it's going to have no, it's not going to have, nothing's going to come about it. People will just think we're just foolish. You're saying we should, this house of society should be run, Varnashrama and all these principles, and the husband should be like this, the wife should be like that, the children should be like that, but we don't do it ourselves, and they're not going to take us seriously. They won't take us seriously. And another thing I want to say that Prabhupada also mentions this in the 7th canto, 11th chapter. One may think, well, you know, if I have to serve my husband and he's really a nonsense, do I just have to put up with it? But Prabhupada mentions this in the 7th canto, 11th chapter, that if one's husband is a miscreant, that means he engages in intoxication, meeting, illicit sex, and gambling, then a woman should not have to serve such a husband. She should separate from him, but separation means doesn't mean that she should remarry again. So, you know, when does have to serve a rascal husband? That's not, you know, what's being said here, you know. He has to be, at least follow the four regulator principles like that. So, we have to follow the, you know, set show by example and try our best. And sometimes it's the children. We may try our best to make them Krishna conscious, but they just, they have free will. Everybody has a free will in this material world. It's even said that Narakasura, he became a demon because of bad association. And even though he was a son of the Supreme Lord in the Mother Earth, and Advaitacharya, he had six sons, and three of them were atheists, demons, you know. So this happens sometimes, you know, but we just have to try our best, you know. And if we try our best, then there's no sin on our part, you know. We don't incur any sin. Yes, Shabbasprabhu?
Anyway, if I could repeat that, these individuals at one point in their life, they went into complete synchronous in personality and became pure devotees. And Prabhupada even told us that if you simply just become pure devotees, 200 descendants up from now will be promoted. So that's our position here. In other words, if you have a son or daughter and very harmonious in your mind, then I'm going to be, that's just what happens. These things happen. But ourselves, we ourselves, should become focused on Krishna consciousness and become pure devotees and deliver those descendants that you don't even know about that are coming from the future
or who are behind you. So really the principle is to become a pure devotee. Just like Srila Prabhupada had so many disciples, are all of them going back home back to Godhead? Eventually they will because of their association with Srila Prabhupada. But we don't see that here. They're not all here. You know, whoever was joined in 1970, we don't see them here in the temple room. So what do? Do we meditate on that and try to understand that? That's very difficult. Our position should be more focused on progressive, being focused on becoming pure devotees and delivering our descendants and our family line.
Yeah, so you're becoming Krishna conscious, you know, we just deliver, you know, we deliver our family members like that and we go back to home, back to Godhead. But as also, we want to make Krishna, we want to make this our last life in this material world. And by following these instructions, we could do that. Prabhupada says, here in Los Angeles, he said, don't come back to this mature world again. It's not going to be so easy the next time around. So we should become very serious in this lifetime like that. Yes, Balram?
I read a remark by Prabhupada that Varna Ashram is great. It puts the human society in as being human beings. Mm-hmm. But higher than that, we're actually aiming for Daivi Varna Ashram, where the center of our activities is Krishna. And there's a verse in the Bhagavatam that says that if you have Varna Ashram and you don't get attraction for loving service to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, then it's useless.
Yeah, that's the meaning of Varnashrama, is to engage in worshiping Vishnu. Otherwise, the so-called Varnashrama, the caste system, is essentially a degraded form of the original system. So when we actually say Varnashrama, that's what we mean, the original system of serving Vishnu. That it's not that I'm a Brahmana because I'm born in a Brahmana family. Like nowadays, they say like that, oh, I'm a Brahmana, you know, because I'm born in a Brahmana family, and they keep eating meat and all sorts of doing all nonsense, and they think they're qualified. That isn't what we meant by that. It means by following the activities of what Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita. And that's really Varnashram, and Prabhupada told us we should establish it. You know, not that we can become candidates for Varnashram, but we have to show by example. You know, they said, well, you know, like they said, and then February the 14th, 1977, they told Prabhupada, but devotee, another point, he said, devotees are beyond Varnashram, they're beyond it. And Prabhupada said, if they're beyond it, why are they falling down? He said like that. And one devotee said, that the chanting Hare Krishna will replace a Varnashram. And Prabhupada said, it can replace it, but who will replace it? He said, of course, Lord Chaitanya said, I'm not a Brahmana, I'm a Kshatriya, I'm not a Vaishnava, I'm a Sudra. But he took sannyas. He took sannyas. So we have to understand that actually we're a servant of Krishna. That's our position. I'm not a Brahmana, Vaishnava, Sudra. None of these things, American, Indian, I'm a servant of Krishna. But we simply have to show by example, just like if you're on a stage, you're playing the part of a king or like that. You know, you're not a king, you're just playing the part. So we just have to play the part, you know. We have to understand that devotees are servants of Krishna. It doesn't matter if they have a man's body or a woman's body or this body or that body, that they're servants of Krishna. And we just have to all just play our parts and show by our own example, that's all. Okay. So we could stop there. Jai Ogloi Shishi Guru and Gauranga.
Because Rabindranath Bhagavan's mind is walking in and out, and they're calling me.